That was good, wasn't it? You can say amen. We worship an awesome God. Hey, as we continue our message series, Why Jesus, as we ready ourselves for Easter morning, I want to remind us what we're doing here. You see, we all, and as we prepare for Easter, most of us here, I would say, we claim to be Jesus followers. We claim to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, where Jesus leads, I will go. We worship an awesome God. The challenge for a lot of us, though, is how much about Jesus do we really know? And what I want to almost ask you to consider as you get ready for Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, is this. Is the Jesus you follow the real Jesus of Scripture? Is the Jesus you follow the true incarnate Son of God? You see, one of the things that so happens, especially in our culture, is we get all of this different information. We get all of these opinions. It used to be that you had to be qualified to give your opinion. How many of you remember back in the day where the only people who got to give their opinions were the ones who worked at the newspaper or who got their letter approved to be printed in the newspaper? I mean, it used to be it was hard to get in front of 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people and give your opinion. But now with the internet, now with discussion groups, how many of you have seen some discussions on Facebook and you're like, dear Lord, where did you get this information in that potty mouth? I mean, that's just some of what goes on Facebook nowadays. There is so much information. There is so much thought sent out that the truth is a lot of us, it ends up getting into us and we don't even know it. And so my hope is through all of this that I can remind all of us who that true Jesus of Scripture is. And then it might surprise you, but even more importantly, it might encourage you. And it might draw you even deeper into that resurrection experience. How many of you struggled to wake up this morning? I mean, Laura is in the back going, me. I struggled getting up. It was hard. It was painful. My alarm went off and I said, no. And I snoozed it once, twice, three times. And then my wife kicked me and I got up and I got out of bed. I didn't want to get up. It hurt. How many of you thought it hurt to get up that early? Come on. You could say it was pain. Yesterday, I ran in a 5K. I have not really ran since last June. Now, last June, I was running 10 miles at a clip. But then I hurt my hip and I got lazy. Have you ever gotten hurt and then gotten lazy? That happened to me. But my mother-in-law convinced me I needed to do this 5K race in Kings Mountain. So last Friday, I finally started running, and I ran for 3.1 miles yesterday. Well, that's not fair to say. I completed 3.1 miles. I didn't run the whole thing. I tried. I really wanted to, but there were some hills that it just got too painful to run on anymore. How many of you have ever experienced that, where you're going, and then the pain gets too great, and what you want to do, you just can't do anymore? In fact, the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, running is not about health, it's about how much pain can I willfully endure. It's all about the pain. I can endure this pain up the hill. And I'm sure you know this in a lot of different ways in your life. Because one of the things I know about you, because I know it about me, and we all know this, all of us want to avoid pain. At the core of who we are, we seek to naturally avoid pain. How many of you go, I like pain. Ooh, baby, give me pain. I want more pain. If you do, my wife is a counselor. We can begin the process. I might get you a discount. Actually, we call people who want pain mentally ill. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's not human. We have all sorts of medicines to help alleviate pain. Who here, let's just go a real quick show of hands, at least daily, takes some sort of medicine to alleviate pain? Oh, is just a few of us? Man, I'm worried. I pop some ibuprofen all the time. I want to avoid that pain. It's probably not good for me, but it's alleviating pain because we all naturally seek to avoid it. No one wants pain. But one of the things we've talked about before is pain is universal. Pain is universal. You and I, we cannot escape pain. It will happen. Either it will be because of something you've done, a mistake you've made, or someone will harm you, or you will lose someone. You know, one of the things that is natural is both birth and death. I just watched birth happen. It's painful. And many of you know the pain of death. It is impossible to avoid, but we seek to do everything we can. But here's something else I know. I know we want a God who will remove pain for us. I know deep down, when you go to your time of prayer, one of the things you most ask God about is, God, will you eliminate pain? When I look at our prayer requests, God, this person's sick, this person's hurting, 95% of the prayer requests we get in are prayer requests that God would eliminate pain in somebody's life. Somebody is hurting, somebody is suffering, and we want a God to take that away. Is that you? I mean, really, if you sit back and think about it for a moment, does that center around a lot of what your prayer is? God, eliminate pain. And what I want to share with you this morning, at first blush, might not seem like good news. What I want to share with you this morning is that that is not who our God actually is. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that Jesus is something more than that, something better than that. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to Philippians chapter 2. It'll be on the overhead. It's also in your bulletin. But we're going to read a great passage, one of my favorite passages about the person of Jesus. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He starts this section off where he says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then he writes, though he was God, though Jesus was God, that is that incarnate, Jesus is eternal. Somehow, some way, though they are separate persons, they are one. Jesus and God are one, eternal. And yet, he writes, though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to cling to. He wasn't saying up in heaven, this is who I am and I'm not changing. He was not saying up in heaven, this is who I am and you better get used to it. No, he did something else. He humbled himself. That's what it said. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Can you imagine that for a moment? I want you to pause and think. I mean, our imagination, our brain power is so limited when it comes to actually imagining who God is, what it is like to be God. But I want you to stop for just a second and think about what it took for Jesus to go, I am eternal, I am all powerful, I am all knowing, I am all everything. But I think I'll become a 2-year-old toddler. But I think I'll enter life through a birth canal and not become the most powerful human and most rich human. No, I will enter life through the birth canal and be born in a manger, in a stable, and be born among the poor. Wow. I mean, pause and think about that for just a second. That's what Jesus willingly chose to do. And even more, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. The God of the universe steps down from his throne, enters life through a birth canal, ends up living in poverty, and eventually is arrested as a criminal and murdered on a cross. And now the God, all-knowing, would have known what that path was going to be like before choosing to enter into it. And he still did it. I mean, didn't I just say a second ago that you got to be mentally ill to want to willingly endure pain? You got to be mentally ill to say, ooh, 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 give me pain. Unless the goal of the pain is greater, right? Isn't that true? Sometimes we will endure pain because what is on the other side of pain is worth the cost. Mothers, why in the world would you have one child and then choose to have another? Because the glory on the other side is worth it. Some of the mothers in the room are going, I don't know about that. Here, the scripture continues, therefore, after enduring that, doing it through obedience, he says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I asked you to say amen when they sang before. Can we say amen to that again? Amen. So I want to pause for a second, and I want you to think about who that Jesus is that Paul just described. You see, so often we want to avoid pain, and we want a God who eliminates pain. But here's who our God is through Jesus Christ. Our God, through Jesus Christ, actually enters into our pain. He doesn't blame us for our pain. He doesn't say, you deserve your pain. He doesn't say, it's all your fault, which, by the way, it is. God created a perfect world, and we said, nah, I want to do it my way. And that didn't work out so good. And we have pain because of that. And God doesn't sit back and say, I want you to suffer. No, he says, I want to come in there with you. That's who Jesus is. He willingly chooses to be the suffering servant, to walk alongside, to say, where you're at, I want to endure that with you. I want to enter into the depth of pain. Jesus experienced loss. Jesus experienced betrayal. Jesus, the God of all creation, willingly came into this world and experienced that same pain you know, day in, day out. That's who Jesus is. He chose to enter into our pain with us. But it's even better than that. Did you catch what happened? It says, what we just read, is that he entered into that pain and humbled himself in complete obedience to God. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place. What Jesus wants us to know is that there is glory, not devoid of pain, but on the other side of it. Let me share that again with you. Jesus proves through his death and his resurrection, that glory resides not when pain is eliminated, but when you've passed through it to the other side. Let me say that again, because I don't know that you're getting how profound that is. How many of you want your pain eliminated? And Jesus says, no, no, no. Let me come in with you. Let me suffer with you. And let me walk with you through that pain to the other side, because that's where the glory resides. We scramble. Most of us are disobedient to God Not when things are good, but when it hurts. Isn't that what temptation is? It hurts. I mean, I love me some Doritos, and we all know this. But why do I eat Doritos? It's not because I'm hungry. It's because I'm tired. Maybe I'm feeling a little lonely, a little overwhelmed. Maybe I'm actually just in a little bit of internal pain. And those Doritos put a smile on my face. What's your favorite flavor of Ben and Jerry's ice cream? Or what is it for you? I mean, I smoked for a long time. Why did I smoke? Because it covered up the pain. I couldn't handle the stress. And I wanted to avoid the pain, and my temptations seek to eliminate that pain. But the reality is, it causes more. I love my Doritos, but it's the reason why I can't run as far as I used to. And I smoked for 20 years, and it took a long time to build my lungs back up because I wanted to avoid pain, but it caused more pain. And I don't know what it is for you, what addiction it is, what it is that you're giving into, but what I want you to know is Jesus said, I can be there with you, and we can walk through your pain to the other side because that's where glory resides. And he proves it to us through the cross, that in the worst pain possible, death, he can make it through to the other side, resurrection. And here's the last point. And he says, I want you to walk that path with me. That if you are a follower of Jesus, what you are saying is, Jesus, I will go through the pain with you. A few weeks ago, Nora, when she was preaching, shared a scripture. Let me reiterate a portion of it. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you, this is Jesus talking, wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Follow me through the pain. Jesus was the suffering servant. No wonder they didn't like his message. But there is hope on the other side for you and for me if we say yes to him. We want to avoid the pain. But then we get a stale Christianity, a false Christianity that maybe rakes in millions, but it doesn't change lives. Because a changed life is the other side of the pain. Here's what Paul writes. I love this passage. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. If you want to know the resurrecting power of Jesus, he doesn't stop there. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection of the dead. What Paul is saying is, Jesus, if glory is the destination and you reached it, I want to do exactly what you did. I want to follow you because it's the glory, it's the resurrection I'm looking for. And whatever it takes, I want to get there. And Jesus says it's worth it. And God says it's worth it. And the question you and I have to decide is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because you have pain now. I know you do. I've got pain now. And I'm not saying my pain is better than yours, more difficult than yours. It's just different than yours. But it's pain. You and I, we all have it. And we have to decide who we're going to do our pain with. Are we going to do our pain with Doritos, with Oprah, with Dr. Phil, with my friends and my family? and hope that they can take some of that pain? Or am I going to pick up my cross and follow Jesus in it and say, Jesus, I know you're here with me. And where you lead, I will follow all the way through the cross and the grave to the resurrection. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And here's the good news. The glory is real. And if you have ever walked through some pain with Jesus and come through on the other side of it, you know what I'm talking about. Don't be afraid. That's who the Jesus is. He wants to walk with you through the pain. And every time we come together as Christians, as followers, we claim this.